something like that. It's like,
okay.
Isn't this a thing from 2001 right there?
What?
No, this is a thing from 2001 in episode 1. This is like a little pod or something like that.
Okay.
Or...
That dude bag doesn't really... That does look like one of the pods from 2001. You're right. Just looking at that little part.
Yeah, see the music?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yep.
You see my MySpace song.
I remember playing it.
Yeah,
I remember trying to...
Back in middle school, it had like a...
Yeah, I remember trying to play this too. It's like, yeah, that was...
it was interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Pretty freaky.
Scary, yet not overly scary kind of character.
Design. Well, I think that had a lot to do with the budget and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I know Lucas and that documentary disappointed by this.
Oh, the guy who did Men in Black.
Rick Baker.
He had something to do with it.
Oh, I'm sure he did, but it's like, I know Lucas in the documentary said he wasn't... He wasn't happy with it. I mean, you know... I mean, he can do...
What's the name of Greedo's race? What's the name of that alien race?
I don't know.
Now, this... Yeah, I guess...
Yeah.
I had the worst time just trying to get the bartender's attention. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Dave? Like, huh? It's acknowledged and knocked up. Like, you know, just like bartenders are usually a-holes, and like you can't ever get their attention.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very true.
Classical dream.
Oh, what's this guy's name?
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You better watch yourself. We're wanting men. I am the destiny from 12 systems. Oh, did you see the Robot Chicken parody of this?
Oh, God, I haven't.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, the guy who gets his arm cut off, he's like, he gets talked into his bike.
Wait, what is the walrus guy's name?
I don't know.
I used to have that action figure.
Did you?
I thought so.
That's
how it usually is. Isn't it? I mean, seriously, that's all this is. It's a bar fight.
Jedi business, back to your drink.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's my episode.
Yes, by far. Then why do I think you'll be the death of me?
Yep.
Swinging music here. Sort of going back to John Williams' jazz roots.
I remember you saw the Family Guy parody, did you?
No.
Oh.
I don't watch Family Guy.
I know you don't, neither do I, but I came across it and it was so funny. I'm going to probably be talking about it a couple more times just because, like, we should be talking about the movie at this point.
We really should be. I think we've talked about it for, like, 10 minutes.
Well, we have the Han Solo introduction here.
Yes, Harrison Ford.
Has he been in anything else since this, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, his careers were flatlined, I think.
Peter Mayhew, on the other hand, like...
He took off.
Skyrocketed.
Remember when he got the Lifetime Achievement Award at the
MTV
Movie Award?
I do.
But no, obviously...
He finally got a medal.
Yeah.
He finally got a damn medal.
No, obviously, Harrison Ford, very famous movie star, action movie star.
That's come out with Indiana Jones 4. He's 64 years old. For
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Has he ever won an Oscar?
No.
He was nominated for Key Witness. Yes.
Yeah.
He was nominated for that Peter Weir movie.
Yep. Witness, Fugitive, Air Force One,
little film series called Indiana Jones.
We mentioned that.
Didn't we? Okay.
I think Indiana Jones 4 kind of covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Runner.
How many versions has it? Have they done?
5, I believe. So Lucas is still behind.
my brother always pointed out that the bartender sold them out because he didn't pay him for the meth that he created. That's my brother's
huh. That's actually not a bad theory. That's not a bad theory. I can almost hand that back later. Yeah. Okay, now, arguably the
most controversial
change. Yeah.
Improvement. I'm using air quotes here.
Although it's somewhat improved in this version, isn't it? I mean,
not really.
I mean, they made it worse, I think.
It's
not as good as
the way it was. I mean, come on.
Well, obviously, but still.
But that's the thing, they tried to make it more like, you know, Han was, or Greedo was shooting at the same time, or whatever. They tried to make it. They just made it worse.
But you know what? I mean, the thing is, that's what I loved about Mal in Serenity.
Yeah.
Is that he was basically, I mean, he's basically a character in the vein of a Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, when he faces the operative, it's like, you know, it's like, I'm unarmed. Good. It's like this.
Yeah.
That, no. It's still pretty bad, yeah. Never mind.
I think
I withdraw ever trying to.
I think they made the best point of this scene with James Silent Bob Strike Back. Like whatever the line was.
About Greedo shooting first.
Yeah, even though those lines were
James Silent Bob movies being worst idea since Greedo shooting first, something like that.
Go ahead, Dave.
Even though those lines were subtitled, I actually really did like the conversation between Han and Greedo right there. It's sort of the kind of exposition of the two of the Han story.
Yeah, I
really did like that.
Well, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, how quick the character introductions are.
Right.
And it's like, it's very. It's
solid, and you know exactly what the character is.
Mm-hmm. And it's very simple and direct character development.
And that's we're about to
right at that moment.
Right.
You know that character. You know that character.
And that's the thing. That's another supposed controversy is like the upcoming scene with Jabba the Hutt,
which I never liked the inclusion of,
because it's basically repeating the information that was told in the Greedo scene with Greedo.
Yeah,
so.
Which is, I'm sure, part of the reason why it was cut in the first place. But
that and budget
that,
and what have you, like all
hard work guy here. But well, plus, I mean, you know, my biggest issue originally with the Jabba scene was the fact that I didn't like the look of Jabba.
Mm-hmm.
He looked completely different than he did.
But he's improved upon here.
No, he is improved upon. No, I mean, they got him a lot closer. In this
That's the same,
but
the same model they used in episode 1.
Yeah.
I did like seeing Han step on Jabba's tail. I thought that was cool. And I thought that was cool how they did that.
Yeah, you know, what?
Like, I was like, how
that?
Did they do that? Like, you know, and then you see the one of the many documentaries about how they just cut out Harrison Ford and like put him over here, and it's
For me, this kind of humanizes Jabba just a little bit, whereas I'd always imagine him as, you know, someone just a little bit more hardcore, you know, but even more, you know, less forgiving, you know, than what he appears here. Here he's almost comical. And that's not quite.
And that's how he comes across in episode 1 as well.
Yeah.
Which is,
I mean, he's got family in episode 1. He's doing well.
I wonder what happened to him in between the here and the Jedi that made him such a jerk.
That's a good line.
And here's
the funniest part.
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Which was, I guess, he was like cut and paste in here as well. Like he couldn't have been there in 77.
Oh no, I can't imagine that he was. I mean, it was probably it makes sense to add him in there because of the fact that we know
the
nod of
the fans, I think.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, we know he's the one who takes Jabba on two Goblin Empires, so.
Mm-hmm.
What a piece of junk! It's 0.5 past light speed.
And I like that line.
Points are just too much on me.
I like that line because it like acknowledges like the look of the movie.
Yeah.
In a way, like, I mean, acknowledges how great the
I mean, Ridley Scott mentioned it. Wasn't it Ridley Scott who mentioned it? The idea in that one feature on the trilogy box set where it's like talking about the sort of used universe.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like when he did Alien, you know, he took that, you know, he took that approach when James Cameron did the Terminator movies, or at least the first one, and I mean, you know, he sort of took that approach,
and then Peter Jackson as well with
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's like, you believe in that universe
mm-hmm.
because of the look of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you always see, when we read science fiction books or, you know, look at depictions of some sort of science fiction, that ship, you always see the ship a little bit bruised and battered.
Yeah.
And you just think that, you know, well, it doesn't necessarily mean to be clean because
yeah.
you're kind of out of space. And you actually kind of
same approach you're taking with Firefly and Serenity.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Serenity. I love the interior of Serenity.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
Like the look of it.
No, I mean, you know, the Firefly universe is probably like my favorite other than this one as far as science fiction goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean just
the Star Trek being
the
cleanest, I think.
Yeah, Star Trek
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
But it's actually funny, it's like, you know,
that's the part in Family Guy where Peter's playing the part of Han Solo, he's like, besides I got a few nerds, we'll lose them. And Chris is playing Luke and he goes, I got a few nerds, we'll lose them, and you see the exact same shot. You get back to the cockpit, and Chris is Luke is like, that was your maneuver? That's like the best joke in the thing.
You know, for
quite the hyperspace isn't like Dustin Cross. That's for sure.
Yeah. Bullseye and Womp Rats back home, evidently. Despite what Luke says later on.
Well, I think it's a backdrop, actually. We've seen some of the documentaries.
Yeah.
I think it's a backdrop. I know it's your fellow sister with Bob and Bill.
Except for the fact that she doesn't have a British accent.
Well, she kind of sounds British in that line, I think. Am I the only one who thinks that?
I think
that's
more
just like just the style of the movie.
Yeah.
Just the way that they're talking.
Yeah. She sounds British in that smile, you think.
Uh-huh. I apologize, listeners. Ron,
all four of you,
much.
I love Carrie Fisher in the scene that's coming up later on. Like, it's my favorite scene with her.
Again, this is something else I didn't even understand as a kid. You know,
yeah.
The significance of him blowing up all around, you know, what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
I
like the nod to the idea of playing all around and now it's so pretty for like to see.
Yeah.
You get to see it at a happy time, at least for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the lines, the reading.
Yeah.
Nice performance.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, more just hideous computer buttons.
Yeah, I can see. I'm starting to see the like the 70s.
Is that
but I still don't think 70s. I think 80s might be rather common, but I don't think 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay. That looks like a green lightsaber.
In a minute, it's going to look like a white lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which, and wasn't it originally?
I will show you my favorite, one of my favorite, because like the one that, like there's a scene later on, like in the very original version, Darth Vader has like, it's like a wooden sword. There's like a shot. I'll point it out. I thought I had pointed it out to you before, but like, and it wasn't changed until the DVD.
Huh.
It wasn't changed for the 97 version.
Oh,
it
really?
Was not changed until the, I've watched this way too many times, obviously, but it was not changed until the DVD.
I was wondering what the fucking rules of this game right here.
I know.
I wouldn't mind.
I still want to know what the rules are to the damn dice game in Pirates of the Caribbean. Does anyone know that? The dice game in Dead Man's Chest. I still know what the rules are yet. Hello? Okay. Is this thing
I
on?
Can't remember.
Do you not remember the dice game from Dead Man's Chest?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
Sorry.
I was confused by that scene. God, you don't come. Oh.
Yes. It's on.
Okay.
All okay?
Right. Sorry.
You can cut that out a little bit.
Okay, that sounds good. That little rank can go.
That's a little bit. No, come on.
Take advice. Let the Wookiee win. I live by that advice, as a matter of fact.
I want to make one of those. I need a...
Lightsaber?
No, this is the thing right here.
Oh, the Pro?
Yeah.
The remote?
Oh my gosh, go back and watch the movie show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll make corrections in this commentary as needed. I'm only kidding, we won't.
The game is confusing.
I mean, that game just basically looks like chess. Sort of a weird alien version of chess.
Mm-hmm. Chess played on the circles.
But, yeah.
I was just, the last time I watched this recently, I was noticing the difference between the way Harrison Ford plays Han Solo in this compared to the way he plays in Empire and Jedi. This is a much more relaxed, laid-back performance. There's a little bit more straight-laced in the subsequent movies. But
I think
it's more to do with like the fact that I think
the character develops.
Not to mention, he was just done under better direction in Empire.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Erwin Kershner tells stories in the commentary about just, like, you know, him and Harrison Ford bouncing off each other and, like, the collaboration.
Yeah.
And how good of a collaboration it was.
You know,
the blast shield down, I can't see anything. How am I supposed to fight?
That whole idea,
you already
stretch out with your feelings and all that, that's just so reminiscent of some of the Chi, Chinese,
Arthur's, wow, he, dodged the remote 3 times. He can do it. That's amazing. Quite frankly.
I think he's the chosen one. No, wait, he's Anakin's the chosen one.
No, he is the one.
Yeah,
he is the one. That's a Matrix question, by the way.
Oh, okay. I thought we were arguing over whether or not Anakin or Luke is the chosen one. Anakin's the chosen one.
No, Anakin's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Anakin's the chosen one because in the end, he's the one who restores the balance.
Mm-hmm.
But. Well, actually, I mean, I've heard a couple of different
I agree that he did create balance because it was probably too good in the beginning.
That makes
sense.
I can't remember where I read that theory for the first time. I think it was on A School News, and I think it was Harry Nolan's review, actually, that made me occurred to me about that. But,
cheese ball asteroid there, like improved upon an empire.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that whole idea is like too good at the beginning. You do see that a lot in like fantasy books where the good guys get so good that they become defeated.
Kind of see that in the Jedi in Episode 1.
Right. And then it requires like some sort of big explosion or something like that to kind of bring things back to a flat level. Because that's Wheel of Time, that's Dragonlance, all the big fantasy series.
Mm-hmm. Harry Potter like that in the end? I mean, it seems like just based on what I've seen in the movies, there's a little bit of that direction
mm-hmm.
going on.
I agree with that.
Not quite as much as this. Not quite the amount of mass destruction that maybe in some of the other fantasy books, definitely same concept.
Yeah. Did you do this before, Brian?
Just a little bit.
I mean, and the lines are so quotable because they're so well written.
Yeah.
There's a line.
Yep, it's in every movie, isn't it?
Once or twice at least. Which one is it in the most? I think it's Jedi.
I think you're right. Yeah. For a pilot, Luke isn't too bright when it comes to space travel. I just want to point that out. For somebody who's considered...
He's a combat pilot. He's combat. He's not...
But... whatever.
So I like Luke. I enjoyed listening to Lucas explain the thing about traveling through hyperspace. Is that it's a the Navi computer is all about dodging, you know, stars and planets and everything, and that's what makes the Millennium Falcon the fastest ship in the universe is the Navi computer, because it navigates the ship the best around all the stuff that would make it.
I've always been really impressed by these special effects shots. I mean, just the Millennium Falcon being pulled into the Death Star. I mean, I've always really enjoyed those shots.
What was I going to say? What do you think about that, Brian? In the TIE Fighter video game, you got a lot more information about the movie 6, and it was always interesting to like be able to blow up, you know, so many fast speeds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you got to see kind of the different types of maneuverability between TIE Fighters and these cruisers and X-Wing. It actually did a really good job with that. And there's another video game called Rebel Assault from a long, long time ago that actually included scenes from Empire Strikes Back and stuff like that. It was one of those games where you just kind of with the feet, you just kind of go and you just kind of move the pointer around and kind of blow things up.
Yeah.
It was really, really well done game about Star Wars. This isn't really a game, so it doesn't see that it really affected me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this wasn't what I was saying earlier, but I did want to point out that it's like, this movie, I mean, going back to the editing, this movie flies off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're already an hour into the movie. We're halfway into the movie. And it's like, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like, you know...
I think there's the first couple times you watch it, you feel like you're being sped to the start, but then, like, later on, when you watch it, like, 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 times.
Yeah. I bet you're saying which one of those I am. It's on the high end, I know that. But,
it's actually paced really well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you know why I like that one? Because like I'm going to go back to, like, you know, Brian was going to correct me on one of my quotes, you know, earlier, and I was like, Brian, who's the bigger geek? The geek who quotes or the geek who corrects the quote? Thank you.
I never said I was a geek. It wasn't a geek. I'm saying,
who's the bigger geek? The geek who quotes incorrectly or the geek who corrects the quote? Okay.
You're right. You're right.
So if I ever get a quote wrong, you know, and then somebody corrects me,
I won't feel guilty about it. These guys aren't too bright either.
Yeah.
But they're clones, so, you know, I mean, that's what we end up learning. And that's one of the best parts of the prequel trilogy is learning sort of the origin of the stormtroopers, you know, and stuff like that. It's like how that whole thing happened. It's not the most compelling backstory, but it kind of is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to the whole Jake No Fett subplot, which I...
Yeah.
again, we're old school to you.
Yeah, I'm going to think that every time I see this movie.
Yeah,
thanks to you.
No problem.
I was absolutely, you know, like, every time I watch it, I'm like, this is such a cool looking movie.
Yeah.
Now you're going to just make me think how 70s it actually is.
Yeah,
and
then, I mean, it started
one of the very first things you and I actually bonded on, wasn't it? Dave?
Yeah, bonded.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember, like Mike, who I'd grown up with, introducing me to you, and then, like, and for, like, the first couple months, you and I had, like, absolutely nothing to talk about, and then it came about time for episode one to come out, like, you and I couldn't shut up, and, like, Mike was, like, just off on the sidelines and saying, oh, my God, what have I done? Do you not remember that?
Everything.
Yeah. Like, I made a monster.
I'm sure he's regretting it to this day.
I'm sure he is. He's lying.
Nobody ever says, may the force be with you.
For an extra, do they?
Not really. Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. Obi-Wan Kenobi never actually says it.
Han Solo does.
Han Solo does it again. Obi-Wan Kenobi never actually says that one. But, What are those? Oh, that's right. Those are cartridges on Chewie's little belt thing there, isn't it?
Are they
cartridges for, like, ammunition?
Oh, that's what I thought.
I love this exchange with Luke coming up where he's trying to convince Han. he says the two magic
words.
Better
her than me.
We did miss, I was going to point out that there are some additional 3PO dialogue in this scene.
Yes, there is.
From that they add in the special.
There is. There is.
And,
look at him. Yeah. He's going anywhere.
Better her than me. And then, light bulb. Mercenary's two favorite words.
That is good. I use that line all the time.
I don't know.
I'm not sure that I necessarily want to know the context.
No, you don't. You enjoy context here, so. I thought this was an interesting touch.
That part scared me.
Yeah.
When Chewie growls at Luke, that part scared me.
I didn't quite understand when I was a kid, you know, just why it was happening. But then, you know.
Well, my favorite Han Solo lines are coming up in a couple minutes. When he's on the intercom, mm-hmm. And they're trying to find out what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine here. Thank you.
How are you?
Anybody ever watch the 70s show? The 70s show? Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that where they parodied this?
No, I've not seen it.
It was the first. They did the episode where it was basically the first time they watched Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, obviously Topher Grace's character loves it. It's like he's got this dream where it's like, you know, he's Luke, and Donna is Princess Leia, and Kelso, Ashton Kutcher's character, is Chewbacca, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny.
Has anybody ever seen the adult movie based off of it?
I'm sure there
you have.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
No. Actually, supposedly it's like one of the most well acted adult movies out there. And it's based totally off of Star Wars. That's the reason I know about it. It actually won some real awards. And people were like, yeah, it's just like a good movie. You know, you need to pick out the more adult features. Let's leave it at that. Supposedly it was like some really, really good acting.
Interesting.
It actually won some really big awards. Yeah, I didn't know either.
I've never seen it, but
so I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yes. You have it downloaded?
No, I don't
have it. You're an Edward Pena fan?
Where are you taking this video? Where are you taking this video? Hey, Subway Lock 1138, reference to THX.
THX.
1138.
This sequence feels a little long to me.
Not really. See, I never necessarily thought that.
I thought those cameras looked a little weird. Those are fine. And those red ones and the black ones.
Yeah.
I like the... Again, Dave, you're making this... I don't know. Like it feels timeless to me. It's not 70s.
It is 70s, but you know it's done such that you don't even notice it unless you're really looking for it.
Mm. Yeah.
This is so great. The Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the essence of Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Thank you. How are you?
For the conversation anyway.
The actors... Yeah. The actors really do make this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really do. I mean, you know, they don't necessarily get enough credit for it, but it always kind of threw me that shot of Princess Leia where she's lying down because the distance from the camera always threw me, made her look smaller, and so I realized, I mean,
supposed to be looking sexy though. Right?
Well, it's also, you know, from where Luke is looking at.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily supposed to be a close-up in the traditional sense. So,
look at those futuristic desk chairs, I think.
Yeah.
The worst looking one is in the control room from earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good.
You know, I was going to acknowledge this in, like, my Empire commentary.
Okay.
But, yeah. Thanks, Dave.
I do know that.
What do you think of, I'm going to say I love Carrie Fisher in this part coming out.
Mm.
Like, somebody has to say that, too.
Yeah.
Like, she's just awesome. She becomes an action hero in this part.
Yeah. But, I mean...
I don't care what you're talking. Don't worry about it.
The thing I like, which I believe I mentioned in the prequel trilogy, is the fact that it's like you really do see, you know, in Natalie Portman's performance, I mean, as, you know, problematic as it is, given, you know, what she's given, you really do see, you know, how she's Leia's mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really do see similarities in the two. So, I mean, it's not completely out of the question that they're related, the mother and daughter, so...
And going back to character introduction, right there, we just got to see, just from the beginning, the sort of tension between Han and Leia.
Yeah.
And there, it's just about two lines of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a few more lines.
Yeah. We're watching.
No, I'm gonna say.
Okay.
What do you guys think of like the whole idea that like it's kind of a curse now to like be a genuine fan of this? Because like you know I don't. It's, well, I'm saying it's not really that cool anymore.
Basically, what I mean is that the prequel sort of ruined it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the emergence of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and stuff like that has sort of softened people on this series.
Yeah.
I'm as proud as I ever have been to be a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up with these movies. I mean, these movies are some of the movies responsible for my
desire to be a filmmaker.
That and my taste in movies today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I can point to these and as well as a lot of the other movies I grew up watching, you know, as inspirations for the movies that I would enjoy in the past, in the, you know, now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can see how the prequels sort of ruin things for people, but, you know, for me, I mean, those people maybe take these a little too seriously, mm-hmm. and not necessarily, you can't necessarily look at them as just movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a crazy scene.
Yeah, this whole scene kind of scares you.
Yeah.
What I like about it is that this is the first sort of scene you get with all three of them together.
Yeah.
In one place.
It bonds the three characters together.
Right. And you initially see just how dysfunctional they are.
Yeah.
And then it's only later you kind of see the bonding begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just kind of just points out that, you know, one of the best ways to bond people together is sort of the shared experience where there's, you know, some active danger.
Yeah. But going back to what Ron was playing out, I mean, you know, it's like these are still some of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, it's still my top five favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
I think like super, you know, I mean, people associate Star Wars with like super deep.
The introduction of that level of fandom towards movies. So,
right. Well,
you know, even though there were franchises before this,
right.
Like the Planet of the Apes franchise, which were popular, and you know, that one started the marketing craze.
Yep.
With merchandising and stuff like that. That this basically took off from. But,
You know, I mean, I think you only saw that level of geekery, like, with comics and maybe books.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And this kind of made it not really in the film for, you know, the general comic name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Right.
But, I still look at this very fondly, and you know, I mean, I still enjoy it as much as I did, as I do now, the Harry Potter movies and Lord of the Rings, and it's like, you know, it's like Matrix. The Matrix came out, you know, a month and a half before Episode One did, and I mean, that's what really turned the tide against Star Wars, really.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the movie of Episode One, but I think. But the fact that you had something like The Matrix come out before it that really was the type of movie that the original Star Wars was and Episode One wasn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that I think that really offset it. You know, Matrix I think a little bit better in terms of the application of visual effects than Episode One was.
Yeah.
And it was a little more inventive, you know. And people were expecting that out of Episode One and didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't stop either.
Well, the story didn't help Episode One.
Well, obviously.
I mean, it was
wasn't the story. It was writing. And that
which
kid.
Is part of
the well, some
story.
No,
telling.
No, I'm saying, no, Episode One had a great story.
And that kid.
Episode One had a great story. I love the story in Episode One.
Yeah, no case.
It's the kid, and it's the writing, and it's the dialogue.
Yeah.
I like the story of Episode One.
It's okay. There are elements of it that are really good. But, how is that going to help is what I want to know. I mean, those are pretty high walls.
Yeah, maybe it's just hoping that one person would do that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sunday.
Yeah, and I couldn't ever understand what he said right there. I forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
I
had a hard time remembering figuring that out, too.
Does an android forget?
You know. I mean, how much is this artificial intelligence rolling up, you know? I mean, you know, how
advanced is the artificial intelligence? I mean, clearly it's really advanced, but at the same time, I mean, you know,
I don't know. Maybe they wanted to model human minds.
3PO's reactions here to kill you. They can crack me up so much.
Curse my mother body. It wasn't fast enough.